Turn with me today to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. I want to talk about the difference maker. The difference maker. There have been things over the course of humanity that have made tremendous differences in our lives. In fact, we enjoy today many things, many privileges, many opportunities that is because of people who had ideas or thoughts or did things that made a difference. I was looking not long ago at a list of some of the greatest inventions of all time. And these were things that made very real and significant differences in the life that we have today. And of course, on that list, you'd have men like Thomas Edison, who gave us the light bulb. I especially like one of the quotes by him. But he said, you know, after 1,000 experiments failed, he did not consider himself a failure. He just said, I just discovered 1,000 ways that won't work. So the idea was he was just going to keep on trying. He was not discouraged. And, you know, perseverance paid off. We enjoy illumination today by flipping a switch. And that because there was another inventor before him by the name of Benjamin Franklin who realized that there is such a thing as electricity that can be that there are principles whereby it can possibly be harnessed and used for some good. And then there were others like Madame Marie Curie, who discovered radium, and through it, great advances in medical science. You know, X-rays were invented and so forth. Some of you have been able to fly on an airplane because of the discoveries of the Wright brothers. And others like them, you know, there were a lot of times people get credit for things, and actually there were many others who were involved in similar things and, you know, getting these things done. But on this list, of course, of the greatest inventors and inventions of all times were Alexander Graham Bell. You know, you can thank him for the cell phones ringing in church services now. Or other, you know, inopportune times and places, funerals and movie theater or whatever, which, you know, that has to be aggravating, going to a movie and sitting behind somebody who's talking on a phone. We gave up that a long time ago, but that's another story. But, you know, people like Da Vinci and Galileo, who is credited with giving us the telescope, and Archimedes, the Greek philosopher, scientist, astronomer, mathematician, and so on. But one of the things that really caught my eye this past week was the invention of the lowly match. The match. And I guess I never thought about that a whole lot before, but you know that matches weren't invented until the 1800s. So up until then, you had to make a fire by a whole different procedure. There were a number of ways to do it. The Boy Scouts have a little manual on a whole bunch of different ways to make a fire. But basically, there were the friction method, where you took a hardwood stick and rubbed it against a softwood hearth of some kind, a little piece of wood. You rub it real good and till it starts smoking, and then you add some tinder, and it was quite an industry. They sold tinder, special kinds of tinder from Germany that was quick to ignite. People carried tinder around in pockets, pouches, all kinds of things, because if you had to make a fire, you had a problem. All this rubbing, I imagine your hands were pretty callous, so somebody came up with the idea you could put a big bow with a, like, almost like a little bow and arrow, and you attach that to the dowel, and you put pressure on it, and you do this, and it makes it spin fast. It was quite a procedure to have to make a fire. Then there was the percussion method. You know, you use a flint and steel, try to get a spark going. So the match Man, what an advance in fire making. But the earliest matches, they caused a whole lot of problems. They were using the white phosphorus at the beginning that was highly combustible and could explode anytime, anywhere. You know, you could be carrying matches around in a box, and the box just catch on fire. Or not only that, but this white phosphorus was so toxic that if you breathed it, it could kill you. But people who worked in the old match factories developed something called a phosphorus jaw. Actually, the fumes would degenerate your jaw bones. It could cause skeletal deformities. I mean, this was bad stuff. So the development of a match to what you got today, where you could safety matches, you know, you just strike it on the side of a box. What an invention. What a difference. You carry around a little box, you can make a fire anywhere. There have been things through the years that have made tremendous differences. Today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as the difference maker, who is compared to fire, and who makes all the difference in the world when it comes to living the Christian life, living it victoriously. In Acts chapter 1, we'll begin. This is Luke's continuation of his gospel. The book of Acts actually continues the book of Luke. It was written by Luke. He says, the former treatise, talking about his gospel of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach up until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, that is, with his disciples, he commanded them, not advised them, but commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. Which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. That is, it's not important right now for you to know this. What's important right now, verse 8, is that you shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What's important to his disciples? What's important for them? And the Lord knew what was important for them. He knew what was important. Don't you think he knows still what's important for us? What's important is that you guys collaborate together and come up with a good program by which people can learn, you know, certain biblical truths. That's not what he said. Not that there's anything particularly wrong with programs, but what we need is power. What his disciples needed was power. Power. Power to live victoriously in a world that is hostile to faith. Power to live victoriously in a world that persecuted Christianity. Now, look, you want to think about these guys that were going to meet in this upper room. They had been pretty beaten and battered for the most part, and could have felt pretty much defeated. But then the Lord appeared to them. And with those resurrection appearances, everything changed. Amen. Have you ever witnessed to somebody about, you know, what's going to happen when you die? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? Will it be heaven? Will it be hell? Sometimes people think, well, you know, there's no way to know because, after all, who knows what happens when you die? Maybe nothing happens. Maybe there's nothingness. Maybe everybody goes to heaven because nobody ever came back to tell us. Actually, one came back to tell us. And one of the things he told us is that there'd be a place for us if we serve him, live for him, trust him. Oh, he came back all right. And he showed himself by many infallible proofs. We just read it here in verse 3. He appeared to his disciples for 40 days. Oh, one came back to tell us, okay. And he told them, you need this power. Power to live victoriously in a world that persecuted him, the world that would persecute them. You need this power. You need power to live the life that you can't live in and of yourself. You can't live it in your own strength. You can't do it. But you'll receive this power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Then you'll be empowered to preach, teach, make disciples, not only in Jerusalem, but also in all Judea, throughout the land of Israel, and even in Samaria. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't like each other too much. And not only just into Samaria, but to the uttermost parts of the earth, which includes us right here and right now. This power, this dunamis, that's the Greek word, dunamis, is a divine enabling. This is exactly what we need. I have a little footnote in my Bible. I want to read this to you. I like it. It's pretty good. It says, power, the Greek word dunamis, means more than strength or ability. It designates especially power in action. Power in action. Luke, in his gospel and in Acts, emphasizes that the Holy Spirit's power included the authority to drive out evil spirits and the anointing to heal the sick as the two essential signs accompanying the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Goes on and says, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's provision for releasing the power of the Holy Spirit into the believer's life. This is the Lord's words here. He says, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. John baptized with a baptism of repentance. We baptize people in obedience to the Lord's command that the disciples should be baptized. Mark 16, Matthew 28, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get saved and you should be baptized in water. Water baptism, generally here I'll do it, but any of the church leadership could actually baptize. And if that's not even available, I believe believers could baptize wherever you could find the opportunity to do so. John baptized with water. Jesus' disciples baptized people with water. We baptize people in water by immersion. But Jesus says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So there is water baptism and there is spirit baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. Holy Spirit baptism, which is an immersion where the Holy Spirit fills us, floods us, immerses us in Holy Ghost power and fire in order to equip us for the journey. So that we can face the trials, difficulties, adversities, so that we can handle the struggles of life, so that we are spiritually equipped, not just mentally equipped. You know, we can be prepared as possible by our own personal study of the Word, which is essential. But, you know, there's something more important than having brain power. We need Holy Ghost power. There has been so many an unlearned person who has been moved mightily of God simply because they were filled with God's Holy Spirit and took Him at His word. It doesn't take a PhD. It just takes an OBEY. Will you believe? The Holy Spirit will fill us. The Holy Spirit will anoint us. The Holy Spirit will use us. And here is what makes New Testament Christianity different from anything on the face of the earth, even to this day. That this Holy Spirit would be poured out upon men and women, young and old, rich and poor, without distinction. All you have to do is believe. And then every single believer is equipped with this Holy Ghost fire and power to carry out the Lord's commission and the Lord's commands. Every single believer. This would be an outpouring that would not simply anoint priests or pastors or preachers or evangelists, but every single believer filled, immersed with the same Holy Spirit. And what a difference. What a difference it would make. Some years ago, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and there was no excuse for my backsliding because I knew better. I learned as a kid, and I believed. But something happened in my teenage years that's been the experience I know of many others, but I wandered, I strayed, I got involved with more foolishness than I care to remember. Especially world religions and stupid philosophies of life, to the point that I was probably more confused than the average person. Yeah, but God is right. The Lord, by His grace, brought me back to the simple gospel message. And I remember the day that I went up to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I had repented of my sins. I had asked the Lord to forgive me. But I well remembered my struggle as a young Baptist boy of knowing what's right, but feeling like I was incapable of doing it. Just incapable of doing what was right. I knew what was right, and I still did what was wrong. And while that still happens occasionally... what a difference it made on the day that I asked the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit. You see, I didn't know that this was something separate to salvation. I thought when you just believe on Christ and receive Him that you get it all. That's everything. But I found out that ain't everything. You get saved. And the Spirit of God does come and live within you and reside within you. And you are His child and you are His disciple. And if you die, you inherit eternal life. But He also sent His Holy Spirit, which Jesus Himself, according to John chapter 1 and verse 33, He's the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus does it. While I may baptize you with water, I can't baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said He does that. He does the baptism in the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is believe and ask. He said you'll receive power. Oh, I remember I went up for that. Well, actually, I kind of followed my wife up there, if you want to know the truth. Because when they said, look, you need the Holy Ghost. Of course, I was a little bit afraid because of, you know, my religious background. People didn't speak in tongues and such. And they looked at all such things with a great deal of skepticism. But in this little church we started attending, there were things there that I'd never seen before. You know, people raising their hands. Raising their hands in church. You'd think somebody would tell them they've got to put their hands down. What do they think you're doing? Somebody told me recently they visited a church, and during worship they raised their hands, and somebody came and tapped them on their shoulder and said, "We don't do that here." Wow. Yeah. Bible preaching church, but tapped them on the shoulder and said, "We don't do that here." Oh. None of that charismatic foolishness here. But boy, you know, as intimidated as I was by it all, I also realized these people love the Lord. I mean, all they wanted to talk about was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. We didn't do that in the Baptist church, I guarantee you. People look at you weird, like you were weird. You're in the wrong place, Pentecostal boy. I tell you, it took some time for me to really investigate in the Bible to see what this stuff was really all about. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, people prophesying. I wanted to know, does the Bible really say that? And the more I looked, the more convinced I was. Oh, man, what am I going to do now? This is in the Bible. How could it be that all those years I'd never seen that before? But there it was right in front of me. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do with that? And the more I read, the more I realized the Lord has more for us. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, the Lord had brought me to a place in my life where I felt like life was passing me by and I was missing the grand purpose of it all. I came to realize life is not simply about making money. Because at the time, I was actually making pretty good money. I was self-employed. I had my own business, and the business was very successful at the time. Very successful. So it wasn't about money. I realized I loved my wife. I also realized that I was so busy making money that I saw her very little, and I saw my kids very little. And I knew where that was going to lead. I could read the future enough to realize you're away from home a whole lot. You don't see your wife and kids a whole lot. You got no spiritual anchor here. You're playing with dynamite. Amen. It's just a matter of time before you explode your marriage. And then, too, I had family that was praying for me. And what a difference that made. And I don't know that they prayed that I would wind up in a little charismatic church. But there I sat and began to read and check these things out for myself and became convinced this is real. Thank you, Lord. This is Bible, and Lord knows I need it. Amen. I need this spiritual power to live a victorious Christian life. And more important than that, I need this spiritual power to live the crucified life that Christ is calling each and every one of us to. That really is the victorious life, you know, the crucified life. It's the life of the cross, the life of the overcomer, the life of denying self, dying to self, taking up that cross daily, following Christ no matter where he leads us. Amen. And I'll never forget, they had a regular Sunday service. The pastor said, anybody who wants to come up for the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you right now. And you're going to get the Holy Spirit. Diane said, I'm going. She got up, she walked up front of me. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? So I got up and followed her. I said, if she's gone, I'm going too. And over there, if you came up for prayer, the whole church came up to pray for you. It was a little small congregation, but look, they'd all come up, they'd lay hands on you. One would say, talk in tongues. One would say, don't talk. One would say, shout. One would say, sit down. You know, it was just, it was mass confusion, but they started praying for us, and Diane, she just got filled with the Holy Ghost. Her face radiated, her hands went up, tears from her eyes, praying in this language. I knew she never knew that language. And I had hands all over me. I had more fingerprints than the FBI. And I didn't know what to do. And when they finished praying for me, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. And I really didn't know what to think. But I guess I left more defeated than victorious. And you know, you always struggle with questions when you ask for something and it seems like nothing happened.
Right, amen.
But I was also learning about what faith really is. What faith really is.
Amen.
And I really believe the Lord sent me to school right there in learning to believe what you don't feel.
Amen.
And learning to act on what you don't see or what you don't feel. And here I was in the school of faith, realizing that the Lord said in the Gospel of Luke that he would give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. That's what he said. He would give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. So, I mean, these were all things that I had to go over in my own mind and my own understanding. Had I asked, well, I did. I asked, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Because he said, look, if your son asks you for a loaf of bread, you're not going to give him a rock. You're not going to give him a snake. If he said, can I have some fish, Dad? No, you don't need no fish here. Play with this snake. No, your father wouldn't do that. And he said, your heavenly father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask.
Thank you, Lord.
So are you a believer? Question number one, had to ask myself, am I a believer, a true believer? And yes, I have repented of my sins. I have asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me. I believe that he died on a cross for me. I believe that he was buried. I believe he rose from the grave. I believe it with all of my heart. And I've asked for his forgiveness, and I have to take that forgiveness by faith. I may not feel forgiven. I may not look at myself in the mirror and look forgiven. I may look pretty bad. But he said he forgives us if we ask him. If we believe, we are forgiven. So faith then believes what it may not feel. You may not feel forgiven. When you pray and ask the Lord to forgive you, you may not feel any different at all. But I promise you, if you will believe that you are forgiven, your feelings will follow. Your feelings will get in line with your experience. It may be tomorrow, it may be an hour from now, it may be next week, next month, next year. But belief is believing what we don't see. It's believing what we don't feel. Hebrews 11:1, it's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. So I realize that just as I have to believe what I don't feel in salvation, the same thing is true with the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the same thing is true with receiving healing or any of the blessings from God. You may not always feel some dramatic change when you receive prayer. You may pray and say, Brother Rusty, pray with me right now that the Lord's going to open up a door for me or a job for me or heal my body or meet this particular need that I have. And we can pray right then and there. You might not feel a thing.
That's right.
You may feel nothing, less than nothing. Mm-hmm. What does faith do? Faith believes the promises of God.
Amen.
And if the promise is, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory, then when you pray, Mark 11:24 says, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. So when you pray, when you feel like you're getting something, when the goosebumps fall and you get the shakes. No, it's not what he says. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Matthew 21:22. All things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. James says, don't let the unbelieving man, the one who vacillates back and forth, don't let him think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. So when we pray, we do have to pray and believe. This applies to the baptism in the Holy Spirit as well. So these were the things I wrestled with for weeks. After I had been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. And I came to the conclusion that, you know what, when you ask for it, if you ask believing, the Lord gives it.
Amen.
So if there's anything in me that is hindering the expression of the Holy Spirit in my life, then I want to know what that is so that I can be rid of it and I can receive all that the Lord has for me. Because, you know, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's poured out. Y'all with me? Still in your Bibles? Acts chapter 2. Let's read what happens over here. They were in one accord, in one place, Acts 2, verse 1. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They saw tongues like flames. That sat upon each and every one of them. And verse 4 says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, wow.
Thank you, Lord.
One of the doctrines of faith in the Assemblies of God, and even though we're not an Assembly of God church, I like that particular doctrine of faith that they mentioned in there, that they believe that the initial evidence of having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking with other tongues. Because wherever it occurs in the Bible, they spoke in tongues. So when you see things in the Bible, it causes you to think, well, gee, maybe that's the natural experience.
Right.
You get saved, truly saved, you change.
Right. Yes.
Your life changes, your habits change, your values change,
yes.
The things you love changes, your heart changes, your vocabulary changes, things change.
Right.
Or at least they're supposed to.
Amen.
And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to live a transformed life. The Lord doesn't send us out to live this life on our own.
Amen.
He sends the Holy Spirit to baptize us, to empower us and spiritually enable us to live victoriously, so that you're not in a struggle to overcome temptation in your own strength. You're equipped with the Holy Ghost. And this whole speaking of in tongues that people seem to sometimes vehemently oppose, I came to learn how valuable it is.
Thank you, Lord.
And that it enables me to pray beyond my own knowledge, my own ability, my own education,
yes.
And even my own awareness of a situation that I'm praying for. Because according to the Bible, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 12, that talks about the gifts and praying in the Spirit and what they're for. Paul says, look, I pray with my understanding, but I also pray with the Spirit. I sing with my understanding. I sing words that I know what I'm saying. How great thou art. I sing with my understanding. But he also said, I sing with the Spirit. And when you're singing or praying in the Spirit, you're praying, speaking in a language you never learned, you never practiced, nobody taught you. You didn't go to school for, you didn't rehearse.
Amen.
It's supernatural.
Yes.
And oh Lord, do not disparage any of it. Because one of the struggles I had is that this speaking in tongues stuff was just a little too weird. And so while I wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I wanted it on my terms. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord. So I'll have the spiritual victory and power and peace. And I want to be able to sing and praise you like these other people do. They didn't care if you looked at them while their hands were up, their eyes were closed.
You're right.
See, I couldn't do that. I was inhibited. I was too dignified. I was afraid people might recognize me doing all that. After all, I'm a businessman. I can't be doing this. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Y'all remember the days when, I don't know if y'all even struggle with any of that. Some of you maybe haven't even had the experience, but I can definitely remember sitting in the church afraid to raise my hands, afraid somebody might see me. And then, you know, and then the Holy Spirit just, when the Holy Spirit does this transforming work, you don't even think about what other people are thinking.
Amen.
I'm not thinking about what you're thinking. I'm only concerned with worshiping the Lord and thanking the Lord and praising the Lord and honoring the Lord and exalting the Lord. Boy, I struggled with so many things. But I finally came to the place where I said, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And I want it on your terms. No more of my terms, no more of my denominational arguments, because a lot of people come with denominational arguments, and I'm convinced it's one of the reasons why they never really receive a real freedom in the Holy Spirit. Some of their denominational arguments, denominational hindrances, some of these things you have to personally just rebuke them in the name of Jesus and cast them aside and say, look, this is what the Bible says. Lord, I want everything that you have.
Right. Yes.
Lord, give it all to me. Let me have it all. I also came to realize through the years that some people have a lot of occult bondage in their lives. I think it's carryovers from their past. Maybe they were involved with some demonic activity, cult activity. Those things can be real hindrances. And I've learned by experience that sometimes you have to renounce those backgrounds. Renounce your background with the occult. Renounce your background with witchcraft. I had to do all of that. Because, well, I dabbled in some stupidity. So renounce these things in the name of Jesus, because I don't want anything hindering me from receiving all that God has for me. And then I want you to notice in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This turned the lights on for me also. I realized, you know what? They had to speak. They spoke. The Holy Spirit didn't take control or possession of their mouth and speak out of their mouth. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit does not take over your tongue and begin to speak out of your mouth. That's not what happens. They spoke. The Holy Spirit just gives you the words. That's all.
Amen.
You have to exercise your vocal apparatus. You have to open up your mouth and speak. You know, all of these things were mulling over and over in my mind and heart, and once I got them settled in my heart, and I realized that I just have to act on my faith. I have to believe that the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit when I asked Him to, that He did. I have to believe it no matter what I feel. And then I just am going to open my mouth. And Lord, let you give me the words to speak. I have to speak. I'm just going to let the Lord guide my utterance. And driving in my car, everything changed. I was on my way to work early one morning, and the Holy Spirit fell on me so powerfully that I actually had to pull over. I was crying. I was broken. I was weeping. And I was speaking in a language I didn't know. And I've been speaking in that language ever since. Do not be afraid of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do not be offended by the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Long for, ask for, believe for everything that the Lord has for you. Because there is a life out of these doors you cannot live in your own strength.
Amen.
These disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. And look, verse 5 says, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Look at the response that the crowd had over here. Well, one of the things I would like to point out is that when this Holy Spirit fell on these disciples, let's keep in mind this was a supernatural occurrence. This was not humanly orchestrated. It was not humanly manipulated or generated in any way, manner, shape, or form. Y'all realize when the Holy Spirit fell, this was God. Amen. This was God working in his disciples, empowering, equipping them to go out and transform their world. Yes. The Holy Spirit filled them. You don't work this up. This isn't hype. This isn't man-generated. It's Holy Ghost-generated. The Holy Spirit fills you. It comes from a source beyond yourself. Right? We recognize that. And there was an outward, visible, and immediate evidence. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the Lord is the one who links speaking in tongues with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Lord is the one who links them together. It's not Brother Rusty. It's not the Pentecostals. It's the Lord in the Bible. And if you'll keep your finger right here, I will just quickly show you a couple of other passages. Acts chapter 10 is one. Y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
All right, just hang with me a little while. Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words. Now he's preaching to a bunch of Gentiles. The Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Peter was preaching. They must have believed what Peter said. The Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And they of the circumcision. Now who is that? That's the Jews, right? The Jews which believed. Now, these are Christian Jews, the believing Jews who were there, who saw this, who heard it, who witnessed it. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter. See, these were believers who came with Peter. He's preaching to these Gentiles. Because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was poured out on them. How did they know? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. That's how they knew. People who get filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what happens. It just happens. He says, can any forbid water that they should not be baptized? So now they're going to be water baptized. They've received the Holy Ghost just like us. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry. Stay, hang around a while. Oh, praise God. This is just one example. There are others in the Bible, like Acts chapter 19. Paul goes to Ephesus. He finds disciples there. He asked him, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They didn't even know what that was. Paul instructed them. They believed on Christ. And then he prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit and salvation are two separate and distinct experiences. They can come virtually simultaneously. They can come, but nobody gets filled with the Holy Ghost who's not saved. You must be saved. And you got to ask. But look at the in Acts 2. Look at the reaction of those who didn't receive the same experience that the apostles and that the 120 had received in Acts chapter 2. Verse 6. When it was noised abroad, the multitude came together. They were confounded. They were confounded. That's their reaction. Because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed or astonished, as some versions translate it. And they marveled, or they kept on wondering what in the world is going on. This is all their responses. Saying, who are these people? So there's confusion. There's amazement. confounded, they're bewildered. It's kind of how I felt, you know, when I first saw all of those things. But notice the reaction of others. Verse 13, others mocked and said, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is nothing. This is a bunch of drunks. And still to this day, there are people who think it's stupid, ridiculous, gibberish, meaningless. In fact, I could add even another response that I have seen, anger. Some people just flat get angry about it. You start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and some people start getting hot under the collar because they think that's not for us, that's not for today. Of course, the problem with that view is I read the Bible, and it said the gift, that is the promise of the Father, is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, and even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise. That's Paul's, Peter's message, you know, in Acts chapter 2, the promise of the Father, verse 38. In fact, let me just read this to you. We need to read this together. Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto every one of them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's water baptism. Repent and be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's spirit baptism. Amen. For the promise. Yes. The promise, yes, he's talking about the promise of the Father. That he mentions, you just got to back up a few verses and you can read about it when he was talking about it. Verses 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my servants and my handmaidens, I'll pour out of those days of my spirit. They will prophesy. Look, he says the promise, verse 39, is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. This promise is for you. This promise is for each of us. It was for them then. It's for us now. We don't need it any less than they needed it. We can't say now, well, you know, we've got so many great programs now that we don't need all of this. Actually, we need it desperately. Yes. We need the Holy Spirit desperately. And today, I would like to encourage you, especially those of you who have never really experienced the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit, I would like to encourage you to ask. Now, all it takes is you must be saved. Are you sure of your salvation? Now, to be sure of your salvation, it's simply a matter of faith in Christ. Lord, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you were buried. I believe, Lord, that you rose from the grave. I believe that you are Lord. If you believe, look, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is not difficult. You don't have to be educated. You simply have to believe. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, will you call on him today? Will you ask him, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins because I'm a sinner. You died for me. I turn from my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Change my life, Lord Jesus. I mean, can you pray that? Amen. Can you ask him? I'll tell you what, let's just pray that together. Just for the sake of those who may be watching over the internet or who hear us on the radio or whatever. Can we just pray together? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. I believe that you were buried and that you rose from the grave, and that you live evermore. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to be Lord of my life and help me to live for you every day. And thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're convinced that you're a believer, now you can ask your Father. Because, see, this is the key. We have to ask our Father for the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself is the Holy Ghost baptizer, according to the Word of God. He himself will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And this, too, is a matter of faith and not feeling. I'd like for you to stand. And if you've never asked the Lord for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'd like for you to ask him today. I urge you to ask him today. I believe that the Holy Spirit will visit us today, that he'll fill you with this Holy Ghost power that we need desperately to live a victorious life, to live victoriously over the temptations and sins of the world, to defeat the adversary, to be equipped in a language of prayer, to be able to move in spiritual gifts. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a door. It's a door into a whole new realm with God, a whole new realm of dying, crucifying, overcoming, serving. Can we pray now for the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And I want to remind you also, you don't go by feelings. You go by faith. He says, if you ask, he'll give it. And the key is believing we receive when we pray. Don't wait for a feeling. Don't wait for a sign. Believe that when you pray, right here, right now, Lord, I believe that you will baptize me in the Holy Spirit if I ask. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I call on you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit and give me the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Lord, you said if we asked that you would give it. So we ask today. Oh, Father, we know you won't give us a stone or a serpent, but you'd give us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And right now, by faith, I receive your gift. I receive your baptism in the Holy Spirit. Right now, by faith, I believe I receive it now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. You fill me now. As I rebuke every obstacle and hindrance, I renounce every demonic association, occult association. I renounce all dead traditional religion that would hinder me. And Lord, by faith, I receive your Holy Spirit right now. I receive your Holy Spirit right now. Now, the Bible says they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm just going to encourage you today. You exercise. You open your mouth and begin to speak and just let the Lord fill your mouth. You have to speak. The Lord's not going to take control of your tongue. You open your mouth and begin to speak. You ask, you believe, you receive. Receive it by faith. And just begin to worship the Lord right now. Just receive. Worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. bless you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. Just go ahead. Let it come out. Speak it out. Do it in faith. Quit worrying about all the what ifs, what it sounds like, what it. Forget all that. You may just have one or two or three words just rumbling around. Just speak them out. Speak them out by faith. Some people speak out with a whole vocabulary, some with just a few words. It doesn't matter. Just speak it out. It's between you and the Lord. Your assignment is to go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you've struggled with these things previously, or if you're still struggling with them, then I want to encourage you. You and the Lord. This is between you and the Lord. And this is very important. It's very, very important. The Lord would not send his disciples out without first filling them with the Holy Ghost. And we need it today. We need it today. To be filled with this same Holy Spirit, to be equipped the same way in order to live victoriously in a very, very hostile environment. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray today that you fill every single one of us, Lord, with your Spirit. Everyone, Lord. Lord, help us to get past all the obstacles, the mental hurdles, the reservations, the hindrances of every kind. Help us, Lord, each and every one of us to get past it. So that, Lord, our longing is for all that you have, Lord, for each of us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That, Lord, you do not discriminate. None of us was so bad that you didn't forgive us when we asked you to. None of us was so lost that you said you're too lost to be saved. And Lord, in the same way, you're no respecter of persons. You don't discriminate against us when it comes to the outpouring of your Spirit. No matter what we've been, what we've done, what we've doubted, or what we fear, Lord, we ask, we ask. And Lord, you fill.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And we give you thanks and praise for it, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. I want to encourage you over the course of the week, the days, the hours ahead, you act on this faith. You remember, you have to act on it. You have to speak.
Amen.
And let the Lord fill your mouth.
Amen.
If anyone else this morning has a need for prayer or ministry, then we don't want you to leave without being ministered to. This Holy Spirit was the difference maker in my life.
Amen.
I have to tell you, it's what changed everything. And I would not want to be guilty of failing to tell you what I know.
Amen.
What I know is the Holy Spirit makes all the difference in the world. All the church programs in the world is no replacement for the power of the Holy Ghost. That liberates us, liberates us in a thousand different ways. One way is that He liberates us to worship. Hallelujah! We worship this morning. If you'd like for us to pray with you, you come. We'll pray.